It has been so wonderful to be part of Focal Point the last 2 days. When we sing as we have, I have to believe that it's a foretaste of our heavenly home. I can only imagine how beautiful worshiping God will be when we see Him face to face. But tonight, we've at least gotten a glimpse of that glory that eventually shall be revealed, which we'll mention to some degree, God willing, tonight. Thank you so much for your encouragement regarding this afternoon's lesson. I appreciate it so much. And I hope and pray that what's said tonight will be a blessing to you. I realize the awesome responsibility I have. I'm commissioned to preach the word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. To speak those things which are proper or becoming of sound doctrine, Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Let not many of you be teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, James 3 and verse 1. Preaching the gospel is a weighty responsibility, and I never stand to preach when I don't think about how heaven's eyes are opened and God is among us. And He demands that His truth be preached, that men's souls might be saved. And I'm so thankful that you're here tonight to worship God and to consider subjects and ideas which are both sacred and holy and right. And I hope that what's said will be a blessing to you. Peace, peace, perfect peace. The American poet Walt Whitman said on one occasion, he said, peace is beautiful. Can't put it any better than that, can you? The iconic rock star of the 60s and the 70s, John Lennon, saying, all we're saying is what? Give peace a chance. Of course, he also sang the song, Imagine, where he imagined a utopian society without God. Where God isn't, peace isn't. Where God isn't, peace is not. It's been said that as it pertains to the 3,500 plus years of recorded history, and I know a lot of preachers, we use this illustration, only about 286 of those years were war-free. In other words, peaceful. And during that same period of time, 8,000 peace treaties were made and broken. As one theologian, David Mustaine, said, peace sells, but who's buying? A lot of you have no idea who I'm talking about, and that's okay. Peace is hard to come by. Let me ask you tonight, based on what we've heard, some of our brethren being hurt, another school shooting, how's your heart and soul? Peaceful or restless? Peaceful or restless? Why is it that peace is so hard to find? It's because sin and death have entered the world. When the first couple in the Garden of Eden chose to rebel against God and to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they ushered in sin and death, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Ever since then, the world's been upside down. Everything's broken. And because of that, knowing that we could die, knowing that misfortune is around any corner, peace is in short supply. So I ask you again, how's your heart and your soul tonight? Are you at peace or are you restless? You know, the Bible promises that the Christian can experience a peace that the world cannot and will not experience. Now, the Bible does teach of our need as God's people to pursue relationships where hostilities are diminished as much as possible. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all men, right? Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Jesus said, blessed are the troublemakers. No, that's not exactly how it goes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. We could study Matthew 5 or Matthew 18 tonight. Talk about right relationships and seeking to be at peace with men as far as possible. But there's a problem. Sin and death, again, has entered the world. We are of God, yet the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5 and verse 19. The world walks according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The world and its system is reigning. Therefore, we must be sober and vigilant, for the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, resist him steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But because the world is what it is, again, peace is in short supply. And a lot of us, we're not at peace because we feel guilty about our past. We're unhappy with our present. And we're scared about the future. Let me ask you, are you peaceful deep in your heart and in your soul? Because there is God in heaven, Daniel 2 and verse 28, and He rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives them to whomever He wishes, Daniel 4:17, 4:25. Are you peaceful and at rest, or are you restless? Guilty because of the past, unhappy because of the present, and scared about the future. You know, the Bible says we don't have to be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, remember the Lord is what? My helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. The peace is in short supply. So tonight I want us to talk about how we can experience peace. Talking about the kind of peace we have in mind. Again, we're not talking about a world that's free of strife. I hate to burst anybody's bubble, break anybody's heart, but as long as we're in this world, we're never going to experience a lack of strife. Peace is beautiful. Unity is wonderful. And we pursue it with all of our heart and with all of our might in this world, but understand that as long as things are as they are, strife, a peacelessness, is something that we're going to have to deal with and fight against. The world says peace is a lack of conflict. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something otherworldly. You know, the Bible speaks of a happiness or a joy that's otherworldly. Most folks, if they're going to be happy, if they're going to be joyful, their circumstances have to be just right. What's the problem with that? Our circumstances are seldom ever just right. And so happiness and joy are difficult to find. But in Philippians 4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice in the Lord. In a relationship with Him, we can experience this joy that's not dependent on externals. Amen? There's an otherworldly joy, not dependent on conflict. Or lack thereof. Think about this for a second. You probably heard this illustration as well. There was a man who went to a famous artist. He He was a Bible student, and he asked the artist, he said, "Do me a favor." He said, "You are a great painter." He said, "Paint me a picture that symbolizes peace." The artist said, "Okay, I'll work on it." So a few days later, the man came back, and the artist had painted this beautiful picture of this lovely tree and this particular branch, and on it was this little bird, and he was singing sweetly, and behind him the sun was shining brightly. Everything was right in the world. The fellow who asked the painter to paint the picture for him said, that's really good, he said, but that's really not what I have in mind. He said, think more about what the Bible says about peace and do it again. So the man came back several days later, and maybe you've heard this. Same tree, same limb, same little bird singing sweetly. But rather than a beautiful, bright sun shining in the background, there were storm clouds and lightning and heavy rain falling. But the little bird was still singing. And the fellow who wanted the painting said, "That's it. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's not dependent upon what's going on around us." Equanimity. I like that word. It's a calmness under pressure. It's an elegance in the face of chaos. It's peace despite circumstances. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. How can I experience that kind of peace? I'll be honest with you tonight. Anxiety, depression, I know what it's like. I'm guessing, speaking to an audience this side, you know what it's like. It's not a matter of not understanding what God's Word says. I believe what God's Word says. It's that sort of foreboding sense of dread that something's going to happen that's not going to be pleasant. And for some people, it dogs them wherever they go. What do they want? Peace. A sense of calm. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I don't want to be scared anymore. And the Bible says there is a peace that can't be understood, but it's just as real as the pew in which you're sitting. How can I wrap my hands and my heart around that peace? Number one, Romans 5 verses 1 and 2, through a right relationship with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2. There may be someone present this evening. You've never obeyed the truth. Now don't get your songbook, you know. Don't grab it and think, okay, he's... And let me explain something. God is holy. In fact, he would tell his people again and again, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. He can have no fellowship with sin. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Not only can he not have fellowship with it because of who he is, he's also, Psalm 7 and verse 11, a just or righteous judge. That means that it's incumbent upon God when sins are committed to punish. That's what sin deserves. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Separation from God spiritually. And of course, because sin's entered the world, we all die physically. Your sins have separated you from your God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. God must punish sin. In fact, He cannot at all, the Bible says, acquit the wicked or the guilty. Nahum chapter 1 verses 3 to 7. Sin's committed. What must God do if He's going to remain who He is and be true to His character? He must pour out His wrath. Well, that's what all of us deserve. Because we've sinned against God. We don't get it sometimes how horrid and terrible sin is. But God will punish sin. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We all agree to that, 1 John 4:8. But He's also and can be a God of severity, Romans 11 and verse 22. He must punish sin. So if you're outside of Christ, if you're not a Christian, you are in the crosshairs of God's wrath. Oh my, I don't want to stand before God unprepared. The one who, when His voice was simply heard there at Sinai, the people trembled in the camp and said to Moses, "From now on, Moses, you talk to us, not him. He's scaring us to death." God is not to be treated lightly. He's not to be trifled with. Amen. He's good, but He's not safe. If you're in your sin, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. In fact, if you're in your sin, the Bible says you're alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Colossians 1 and verse 21. Who would want to stand before God and God say, "You are my enemy"? That makes me tremble. Just the thought of it. But when you look at Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, you learn that through faith in Christ, we can be at peace with God. Yes, at one time, alienated, enemies in our mind by wicked works. Yet now, He has reconciled those who are His. The idea of being justified by faith there is a synecdoche, meaning a part that stands for the whole. If we come to God in obedient faith, believing that He is and that Jesus indeed is His Son and died for our sins, was buried and raised, if we're willing to repent of our sins and make that good confession, our belief in Him, be buried with Him in baptism, the Bible says you'll be raised up to walk in newness of life, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. Your sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. Added to the church you read about in the Bible, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And God says, "You're not my enemy anymore. You're my friend." Wow. Amen. Think about that for a second. To be at peace with God. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28? He said, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." I really believe the context of that goes back to verse 17, where Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And he talks about our hope, the redemption of the body, verses 19 through 25. He looks forward to something better. And he said, "All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And then he said, "What then shall we say to these things?" What things? All of the things in this broken world that cause us to be restless. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you look at that and relish that idea? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Verse 31. Verse 37. "Yet I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What does it mean to be God's friend? You can rest easy, folks. You can rest easy. If all those things be true, and they are, take a deep breath and know that God still rules in the kingdom of men. He rules by His power forever. He has not left us alone. How can I be at peace? Through a right relationship with God. But let me say this, if you're not right with God, there's no reason for you to be at peace. There's no reason at all. But peace is there for the taking. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. Through a right relationship with God, I can experience this otherworldly peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I want some of that. John 14, 27. Don't you? "These words I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer." What, brethren? "I've overcome the world." Peace through a right relationship with God, unlike anything we can possibly imagine. Number two, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. How can I get my heart wrapped around, my hands wrapped around, my mind wrapped around this peace that everybody's searching for? Through humble prayer, if you're a child of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Philippians 4 and verse 1, we see Paul's relationship to the Philippian church. He refers to them as his joy and his crown. Evidently, there was a division problem there. At least there was one that was brewing between two women, Euodia and Syntyche. He said, "Be of one mind in the Lord." He urges the true companion, whomever that may be, to help in that matter along with Clement. Then we have "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Verse 4, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." And then we find in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, one of the hardest commands to obey in the Bible. There are two of them in the book of Philippians. The first one's found in verse 14. "Do all things without murmuring and disputing." That's a hard one. But there's another hard one in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Paul says, "Be anxious for everything." You know, I could probably pull that off. You know, I come from a family of worriers. Anytime I say I'm concerned about something, my elderly mother lives with me. "So, Mom, I'm a little worried about something." She says, "You got that from me." I say, "Thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. Couldn't I have gotten something good?" He doesn't say be anxious for everything. He doesn't say be anxious for some things. He says be anxious for no thing. Oh boy. Three times Jesus says, "Do not worry." Matthew 6, 25, 31, 34. "Do not worry about tomorrow." Are you kidding me? Have you not read the news? Have you not seen what they're saying? Haven't you checked the stock market? Don't you know what's going on? "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I need to learn that. I'm looking for this peace. I want it, and I want a double portion of it. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Paul said, if there's something you're concerned about that you think you need, take it to God. Thank Him for what He's already done. And you'll remember, He's always provided. That ought to go a long way in helping you experience peace with thanksgiving. And he said that peace of knowing that God will provide as He always has, as you continually thank Him, he said, it'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, when you're worried and afraid, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to humble yourselves under His mighty hand that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. How do I humble myself? By casting my cares. I've had people come to me and say, "Preacher, you think this is silly for me to pray about?" I say, "Do you care about it?" "Yeah, I care about it a lot." Cast all your cares upon Him. Let God determine if it's silly or not. Pray. Pray for peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. In fact, that's the result of praying that way, again and again, consistently, as a daily routine. The closer you are to Him, the more peace you'll experience through humble prayer. I want that peace. How can I get it? Through a right relationship with God, through humble prayer, through stillness and active meditation. I'm not talking about sitting cross-legged. I'm talking about biblical meditation. But here's what I want you to think about. Most of us are familiar with Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. What's the key to that? Verse 10 of that same chapter, where God says, "Be still," or the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth." Are you worried? Are you afraid? Are you scared? Are you restless? Stop! Take a breath. Close your eyes and remember God is near. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. James 4 and verse 8. Oftentimes, the last thing we do when we're afraid and when we're worried and when we're scared is just to simply stop and remember God is still reigning on the throne. But notice Philippians 4 and verse 8, this idea of how our thoughts can lead to peace. Prayer does. He says, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy." He says what? Verse 8. "Think of these things. Meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and seen and heard in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." He's called the God of peace, Romans 15:33. Also here in Philippians 4. But I have to condition my mind to meditate on Him and His things. What are the kinds of things I need to allow to run through my mind continually? "Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day," Psalm 119 and verse 97. Through stillness and active meditation, our thoughts are like wild horses in a pasture that need to be reined in. In fact, when I said pasture, you may have thought, there's a lot not far from my house that's for sale. It's right across the street from the school where I grew up. Man, I miss that place. I wonder if Sister Smith lives behind the school anymore. I need to go by and see her. I need to think more. Our thoughts go all over the place. The Bible says you want to be at peace? You meditate on God and His things. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Either your thoughts are moving you away from God or towards Him. It's up to you. But that takes discipline. That takes work. That takes effort. It doesn't happen by osmosis or accident. And it's a lifelong pursuit. I want that peace. How can I possibly achieve it? Through the acknowledgement of a "this too shall pass" philosophy. I heard somebody say once, you know that expression, "this too shall pass," is my favorite expression in the Bible. I didn't have the heart to tell them that's not in the Bible. At the same time, the principle is. Here's what I know about life. I've lived a little while. The 23rd Psalm, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he talks about the Lord's care and provision. And then he talks about the valley of the shadow of death. I find it interesting. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What's the shadow of death? It's life's darkest, bleakest moments. It's the doctor saying, I'm sorry, it's cancer. It's your boss bringing you in and saying, I'm sorry, I got to let you go. It's one of your kids going astray. It's a friend betraying you. It's a million things. It's life's darkest, bleakest moments. And the Lord says, I'll be with you through them all. But here's what he says. On the other side of the valley, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. With every mountain eventually, or with every valley, eventually there's a mountaintop. You won't be in the valley forever. If you're restless right now, if your emotions are upset, but you know what the Bible says, but your body's not following what you know, understand that you won't go through the valley for long. Not forever. I've known a lot of people who have suffered, and I've known a lot of people who didn't suffer so much, but I've never seen anybody whose life is just positive all the way across. I've never seen anybody whose life is negative all the way across. Life for all of us is mountaintops and valleys, mountaintops and valleys, mountaintops and valleys. If you're in the valley right now, if life is tough, if you're struggling, understand eventually He'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Even if it's not in this life, it'll be in the next one. And if life is good, my friend, and you live long enough, there's a valley ahead. I wish I could tell you no, but there is. But the Lord will guide you and be with you. And that'll bring you peace even in the face of great darkness. That reminds me one more thing. Let's sort of summarize here. I want the peace that surpasses all understanding. How can I experience it? Through a right relationship with God. That's the most important thing. Through humble prayer, I can pursue being anxious for nothing, believing that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard my heart and my mind. Through still but active meditation, be still and know that I am God. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true and noble and just, I'm going to think on those things that lead to peace. By acknowledging that whatever's happening right now, it only happens for a time. But finally, I can be at peace in this old broken world because the Bible says Jesus is coming again. Paul said this, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Colossians 3:1-4. You know what's ahead for all of us? If we're faithful and we remain faithful? Glory. To bask in the presence of God forever and forever. Where all of the negatives of this life are stripped and removed. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Listen to this one. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. What helps me have peace in this present world? The hope, the confident expectation that helps to save me, Romans 8:24, that eventually my Lord shall return and take me home. Amen. What a horrible thought to think that this life is all that there is. To think that with all the suffering, with all the pain, this is it. If I thought that, I could never be at rest. In fact, I would wonder why I should even keep going. The world says, give us peace. They mean a lack of hostility. The Bible says, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all men. But God says, through Jesus, I have something even better. You can experience it now, but later you can experience it to the full. Let me ask you, are you at peace or are you restless? Peace, peace, perfect peace is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for that.